Guys, I just want to talk to you for a couple of minutes about Jesus. I hope that's okay. Anybody love Jesus? Guys, I love Jesus. If you guys got your Bibles, we're going to turn over to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. How amazing was the worship this morning? Oh, man, I love worship. Is anybody else a crier? Any other criers? Yeah, Mindy, yes. I heard somebody explain it this way before. I've been on worship before where I just don't even understand. I'll just start crying. I'm just like, oh, I thought it was okay, and I just start crying. And I've had people with me, and I've seen this more and more. It's like they'll be new to the experience altogether, and they're crying. And they're just like, why am I crying? And I heard explained it this way before, is because this is like little touch, this glimpse of what heaven's going to be like, praising God. And there's just something about your soul feeling like it's back at home, right? Isn't there just something so refreshing about feeling? Anybody ever go home and you just take off your shoes and you're like, I'm so glad I'm done with today. I'm so glad I don't have to care if I have my shoes on or the way I look and my hair could be like this and just crazy. I'm just at home. And there's just something refreshing and comforting about going back home. And that's what worship is really about. It's about feeling like you're back at home. It has nothing to do with my message today. I felt like that. I was just over here. Every time we sing What a Beautiful Name, we get to that You Have No Rival, immediately just done. I'm like, You Have No Rival, Lord. No equal, Jesus. Every time. I'm joking and I'm about to cry. It's not funny. Anyways, praise Jesus. If you guys got your Bibles, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. It says this. It says in the New Living Translation, it says, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content. This is Paul talking, by the way. Not that I've ever been in need, for I have always learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing and with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or an empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. We don't like to talk about that part, do we? We like to say, I can do all things, but not always acknowledge the present difficulty. What we're going through today, knowing that there's always hope. Amen. I wanted to share off of, since the 4th of July is coming up this Thursday, anybody like to waste their money and blow it all up? Me neither. Oh, yeah. Everybody go to Aaron's house. I'll give it out the address. What's that? It's over in Eatonville? I'm just kidding. Aaron knows how to do it up big, I'll tell you what. But because of that, I thought it'd be appropriate for us to kind of reflect on the Declaration of Independence. Is that okay? It says this in the Declaration of Independence. It says that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and today what I want to do is talk about this idea, and the pursuit of happiness. Does anybody ever feel like they're always pursuing happiness? Does anyone ever feel like happiness is this constant pursuit? Almost there. Almost got it. So close. I could touch it. It's like when I have a toddler. I have my little son, Dorian. He's one and some change. And I constantly feel I'm in pursuit of my toddler. I was like, all right, we're good. I got him. We're here. And I'm like, where'd Dorian go? Where did Dorian go? And I start running again. We were over at Wild Ones yesterday with my family. And my son's favorite activity, his favorite thing to do, not the rides, run away. That was his favorite His favorite thing to do. He'd look at us while he's running away down the hill, all concrete in shorts. No, son, no. I got him. I feel like that sometimes, don't you? Don't you kind of feel like you're always grabbing for searching for this idea of this elusive joy, almost like this carrot in front of us. It's like, almost got it. Almost got it. Today, I'm going to title our conversation, Pursuit of Happiness. Pursuit of Happiness. Will you guys pray with me? Father, I just thank you so much for this time with all these amazing people, with my family, Jesus. I thank you that as we get into your word, we know, Lord, that there's truth in your word. And we know, Lord, that you are your word, Jesus. And as we get into your word, I pray, Lord, that we discover more of who you are, Jesus. We don't want concepts. We don't want ideas. We don't want theories, Lord. But Jesus, we want the truth. We want to know who you are. We thank you, Jesus, that this is what we gauge our life with, we connect with. We love you, Jesus, and I pray, Lord, as we get into your word, we're changed more and more into your image. We love you so much, Jesus, in your mighty name. Everybody said? Amen, amen. So, a couple years back, it was before I was married. Me and my wife have been married going on 13 years this year. Oh, my goodness. Been together 18. Oh, my goodness, girl. What's up? You're the best. Love my wife. And we got two kids, so it's a good life, man. It's a good life. But before we got married, I was driving around this sweet truck. It was a nice truck. 1993 Dodge Dakota. It was so fast, the paint was flicking off of it. You know what I'm talking about? You guys remember when Dodge did that whole commercial to like try to rebrand because they put on garbage paint and all their paint was chipping off? And so they're like, it's so fast that the paint peels off. You guys remember that? I was like, that is the dumbest. They're like, we're just going to lean into our ignorance. So I had this really cool truck. I loved it. That was a joke. I hated it. It was a piece of junk. Oh, gosh. Anyways, so I had this truck for a long, long time, and we were driving around one day, and we were at a stoplight, and we got rear-ended by a LeMay garbage truck. I know. It was awesome. Here's why. I got lots of money. I bought the ring Isabel's wearing right now with, thank you, LeMay. That's the ring I got. That's how we got married. Thank you, LeMay. But this was one of the best parts about getting hit by that garbage truck. I went over to a chiropractor. I don't know if I'm allowed to plug people. I went over to a chiropractor, and he's like, all right, Mr. Huntsman. I was like, Mr. Huntsman? I'm 19. All right. All right, listen up, Mr. Huntsman. You're all messed up. So we're gonna recommend that you get 3 massages a week. And I was like, what? For free? Well, LeMay will pay for it. Better. This is great. And so for, I don't remember how long it was. It was months. I think it was like 6 months. I got 3 massages a week in between working my 15-hour-a-week job. It was just like the greatest moment, time of my life. No need for massages. I did nothing. And I got lots of... And so I got used to this level of living, you know? Just, I guess I get massages now. Like, that's just, it's my life. It's my cross to bear. And I eventually it dried up. And then later in life, when I actually did need massages, they weren't there. I constantly pray. I don't know if this is too much for a Sunday morning as I'm ministering the gospel. We're going to get back to it. I pray all the time, Lord, sovereign Lord, hit me with a garbage truck. Please. I need massages again, Lord. I don't know if that's too far. Sorry. Bring it back. Bring it back. Okay. So recently, one of my brothers, he called me up. He said, hey, Mike, I got this package. I'm not going to be able to use all of them. But it's a certain amount of massages. Would you like one? I was like, yes, I would so like one. And so I was so excited, guys. I was beside myself. Here I was. And there I was again, beside myself with excitement. I was so excited. And so I was getting all pumped up for it. I was telling Isabel, like, every day, I was like, 3 more days. till I get massaged. It's like two more days. It's coming. And the day finally came. I was like, it's the day. I'm going to get a massage. And this is really the kind of, I'm kind of a baby. This is actually the kind of massage that I want. I just want someone to scratch my back and tell me that they're proud of me. That's really a massage I want. It's like, you're not a failure. Thank you. And so I go in and she asks me, she says, what level would you like? 1 to 10. And I was like a 2. Like tops. And she's like, okay, we'll go for a 2. And she starts going at it, guys. And she's going so hard that her knees are buckling and cracking. Knees are, and I'm so unconfrontational. I don't say anything. Not one word the entire time. I hope she hears me crying so that she will stop hurting me. That's how long it goes for. The whole time, I was just like, oh, God. This is what I wanted. I asked for this. I left. And I called Isabella. It's like, she hurt me. She hurt me so bad. Have you guys ever experienced something like this? You guys are so excited about something, and then it doesn't turn out that way at all. You're like, I got the new job. I got the job. And then you're in the job. I hate the job. You get the new car. I got the new car. You're in the car. I hate this car. You get the new house. Guys, you hate the house. Everything's all of a sudden the worst. It's like bad neighborhood, too small, not enough parking. This is the worst. You get the new spouse. What? I'm just kidding. You're like, I'm not going to be alone anymore. And then you're, I just need a little time to myself. I need some me time. But this is kind of, it's this elusive joy, this pursuit of happiness, right? And we think all the time that this next thing will make me happy. I'll get the new job. And then all of a sudden it doesn't have the right benefits. It doesn't pay. It's too far away. It's like we get the new car. We're so excited about the new car. It's like it doesn't quite fit everybody, all my needs. It doesn't get good gas mileage. We get the new house. Not enough parking. Too far away. All these different things. There's always something that we put in our mind as the carrot. It's this pursuit of happiness. We think so much, so often, that if I just get this one thing, If I could just grab it, if I could just hold it, if I could just be there, then I'll be happy. And it's just so elusive. You know, Jesus talks about the Beatitudes. You guys remember the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. And he says, blessed are those. Blessed are those. You know, if you look that up, that word actually means happy in a sense. Happy, blissful, joyful. Like, happy are those that... And you would think, happy are those that got the new job. Happy are those that got the 401k. Happy are those that, and we think that all these monetary, these kind of things in front of us, that's what brings us joy. And Jesus kind of rocks that whole thing. Happy are those that are poor. Happy are those that are meek. Happy are those. And he starts to battle these ideas, these concepts of what we think where joy derived from. We think joy derives from these areas. So I want to go through just a couple ideas, a couple thoughts of lies that we've been told and we believe, and really the truth scripturally goes along with it. You guys ready to go with me on it? We're so hungry for happiness. We're so hungry for it. You guys know in the year 2000, let's see if I can go to it. Where was it? Here it is. In the year 2000, 50 books were published with this idea of happiness. In the year 2008, over 4,000. Guys, our culture, us, we are so hungry for happiness. We are so hungry for joy. We are so hungry to fill this void that's inside of us, this elusive joy. At times it feels like it's filled. At times it feels like it's empty. And it's like, okay, I got it. Now I'm good. And there it goes again. So here's the first lie that we tell ourselves all the time. And it's quite simple. And this is, as I say, you're like, I don't tell myself. You totally tell yourself this. The first lie is this. Money and stuff will bring me happiness. We tell ourselves that all the time. Whether or not we say it, we're like, if I get that new job and I got that extra 20K a year, baby, I'm going to go to Applebee's every night. I don't even have to get the happy hour anymore. I'm going to get a drink. Because we honestly think that. Us as believers, we don't think that. It's money and stuff. But really, if you look inside your heart of hearts, we think money and stuff equal happiness. We really believe that. We think if I got the new car, if I get some more money in our account. But you guys know the problem, don't you? Is when we do get the new job with the new pay increase, it's this momentary. Just this moment. That's what I was looking for. As I've gotten a little bit older, this has been my thing recently. I used to love Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Anybody else? Cinnamon Toast Crunch. The taste, you can see it. It's the Thomas version of cereal. You don't gotta believe, you see. It's a Bible reference. Read your Bible. Aggressive. Cinnamon Toast Crunch. So, when I was growing up, I could eat this bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Good. I recently, probably 6 months ago, had a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. By lunchtime, I was shaking. I was sweating. My body was rejecting the Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's just like, why would you do this to me? Because here's the thing, is at a young age, it would actually kind of hold that thing over. But as I've grown, I've gotten used to, I don't know, eggs, normal adult food. And now I know that this is just sugar garbage. And all it does is it drops into my stomach, goes like this, and then I'm starving again 5 minutes later. It's because there's no weight to it. There's no sustenance to it. You know, that's the same thing. It's like money and stuff. It's like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It drops. It's like, I feel full. 5 minutes later, why am I so hungry again? Because it doesn't actually sustain. There's a momentary happiness. It's momentary. It's just a moment. Feels good. We get the stuff. We got the money. We get the stuff. We're good to go again. But really, it's not true. You know, really, the truth is generosity is what brings us joy. You see, the money and the stuff is actually what it's supposed to do is bring community and connection together. It's to provide for what we're doing, but really what it's for, it's always for the purpose of others and people and us. Really, the weight of it, it says this in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. It says, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25, it says, the generous will prosper. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. The generous are the ones that actually prosper, because as they begin to look out for the needs and cares for others, we ourselves become refreshed. The lie is get. The truth is give. I'll let you clap for that, Mom. I love you, Mom. That's the truth. And so often we really believe that the thing, and it does feel good for a moment, but it doesn't actually pick away at what the void really is. It's just a moment. It just feels good, but it doesn't sustain. It doesn't have weight to it. It doesn't actually fill. And so if that's the thing that we're in pursuit for, when we catch it, we will feel empty again. When we get the new job, it will feel, for a moment, good. But it will feel empty again if that's what you're searching for, if that's what you're trying to grab. The moment that you buy the new toy feels good for a moment, but it doesn't sustain. There's nothing wrong with more money. There's nothing wrong with new toys. But if that's your pursuit of happiness, it will leave you empty every time because there's no weight to it. There's no sustenance to it. Oh, this is the next one. When I am perfect, then I'll feel happy. Perfection will bring me joy. Perfection will make me happy. Do you guys ever just get so heavy on yourself when you make a mistake? Guys, there's nothing worse. There's nothing worse than feeling like you fell short. There's nothing worse than when you disappoint somebody. I'll give you guys a little peek into my life. I have a beautiful little daughter. Her name's Aria. She's 3 years old. And she's at this age that she takes everything in. Everything. And then I'll see her now do whatever I did. And that's cool when dad's on point. Like when she uses her manners, she's like, please and thank you. I'm like, I am the best. I am the greatest dad there ever was. But then, daddy gets mad and yells at the dog. Guys, I'll go out. I'll let my dog out. He's this little guy. He's a Chihuahua Pekingese Pomeranian dog. / Satan. He's a little, just a little devil. He's tired now, so he's like a tired devil. He's like, oh, I'll screw stuff up later. So I let him out in the yard. And I remember this one day, he was out there, and he was just kind of sniffing around, and it was cold, and I was ready for him to come back in. And I'm yelling, Robbo! I'm the worst neighbor. I have a really loud voice, and I'll go, Robbo! Robbo! Robbo, come! Just like that. And then Aria comes around the corner. She goes, Robbo! Robbo! Robbo, come! I've ruined you. Just go away. Go away. When I'm perfect, I feel good. But when those things that aren't perfect show up, I don't feel good. Because if perfection is our source of happiness, we will never be happy. And here's the truth, and this is the hard one to swallow, it's we are broken. We are flawed. And it's like, no, I'm not. Okay, let's look at the Bible. It says this in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us, look at this, the law simply shows us how sinful we are. That's the job of the law. If you think that you're going to get it together and have everything perfect every day, you're always going to treat people right and be a Christian. It's like, I'm a Christian, so I never get mad. I never say a bad word, and I never. You do. Either that or you're calling God a liar, in which case you just sinned. You're a sinner. If you call God a liar, that's like the worst. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. No forgiveness. Anyways, another Bible reference. It says this, but now God has shown us a way to be right with him without keeping the requirements of the law as we promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ.
So your sin, the places that you fall short, if you think that that's the place that once I get this all together, then I'm made right, you got it backwards. And a matter of fact, you're gonna frustrate yourself because it's not in your time. We are broken. It says this just a couple scriptures down. It says, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. So please, if you're holding yourself to this level where you're not allowing yourself any grace for yourself, you're going to be so heavy. Your life isn't going to be fulfilled at all because you're trying in your ways and your strength and as much as you can to earn righteousness. You're not made right by your works. No matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you get it together. So give yourself a little bit of grace. But acknowledge the place that you fall short and bring it to God. That's really what it's about. So, man, I can't believe I did this again. God, come here. Look at this. Hey, can you start healing my heart in this area? Because so often we want in our own strength, by our own will, by our own might, once I get it together, once I become perfect. But really what God's saying is, invite me into your brokenness. Because that's where healing comes from. God, come here. I've been struggling with this over and over and over. Will you help me with this? And then God can start to do some work. God can start to bring healing. But if we're like, don't look, don't look, don't look, don't look, don't look, don't look. And then you're shocked when you get it wrong. It's a lie. If that's your level of happiness, if that's your pursuit of happiness, once I'm perfect, you will never be happy. You will never be content. You will never be filled with joy because you're trying in your own strength to do something that is really God's category. And here's really the thing. If we keep trying to do that, we're actually taking the place of God. We're actually saying, God, get off the cross. I could do this myself. And that's a dangerous place to be because I don't want to be my own God. I don't want to be my own salvation. I don't want to be the one that has it all together, has it all perfect. I want to rely on who Jesus is. Say, man, I can't believe I got mad again. God, will you help me with my anger? God, I can't believe that I yelled at that person again. Can you help me with this? I'm so short. I'm at the end of my rope. Can you help me? And that's when God can begin to bring healing because we're not meant to be isolated. Amen? It says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, it says actually we are hidden away in Christ. That when God looks at you, when you accept Jesus, which by the way, super easy, if you haven't done it before, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you're saved. And now you are hidden in Christ. God looks at you and sees perfection. When we trust and rely in his arms, can I talk about my kid for a second again? I love my kid so much. My son, Dorian, for the first couple of years, or not years, he's a year. For the first couple of years, we're just walking in faith. It's still going. We just know. For the first couple of months of his life, he had something called Sandiford syndrome. And what that was is it's essentially colic times 10. It's just, he was either asleep, he was eating, or he was crying. That was like it for the first like 3 to 6 months of his life. And I remember so vividly, Isabel sent me a video when I was at work of proof around like four, I think it was like 4 months at that point, a video of him awake and not screaming. That's how often it happened. It's enough where she had to send a video. Look, just wanted to show you proof. He's awake and he's not screaming. And it was a really, I mean, it was just, oh gosh, the roughest time. And so when we were trying to calm him, he would be so restless. Just move around because he was in pain. And what we were trying to do is we were actually trying to feed him to help soothe the pain. But then he was having all these other issues going on where he'd throw back up and all this other stuff. But it almost reminds me of this picture of God. He's like, would you just come here, be in my arms, let me take care of you. And so often we're trying to wrestle out of our Father's arms. No, 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 I got this. No, I can handle this. No, I have this together. No, I can do this. No, I got this. And God's like, would you just rest? Would you just calm down? Would you just stay in my arms for a minute? Would you just be? Because here is comfort. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to bring you comfort because you can't comfort yourself. And we're just like that same baby scenario. We're flipping around. I gotta go. I gotta go. I gotta go. And God's saying, would you just be? Would you just rest in who I am? For some of us today, I think that's really what needs to lay on us is I just need to rest in who God is. I just need to rest in his arms and know that he has this. He got it together. Oh, this is the next one. This is the next one that's really hard for me. Any other fellow people pleasers in the audience? Show of hands, a couple of us. Anybody that's like, I just want them to be happy, you know? Just people pleasers. I am a well-known people pleaser. I've gotten better with it now. Sometimes I like not to please people. It's kind of fun. You know what I mean? Watch them squirm. But I am a notorious people pleaser. And so this is the lie that I tell myself. If people like me or approve of me, then I'll be happy. As long as everything's good. Any carpet sweepers? You guys should see how, before I got married, how I would clean. And now that I'm married, I still do it. The way that I clean, I have that one room. Open up the closet. Everything goes in the closet. This is how I clean now. Is downstairs is like our living area. And then upstairs is like our bedrooms and our kids play area. And there's this kind of open space when you first walk in where you could see upstairs. And so I just grab the stuff and I go like this. And I grab more stuff. It's like, someone's coming. And then start throwing it. I'll do it quick too. And there are people who are like, can I use the bathroom upstairs? Absolutely not. You will pee down here. That's why I bought a toilet. I'm so shy. So am I. That's why I don't want you going up there. But the people pleaser, we try to shove stuff away like, okay, don't look at this area. And as long as everybody's good, then I'm good. But here's the problem. There's always somebody not good. I hate that so much, you guys. I hate it so much. I'll go home to Isabel. I'll be like, this person's not good with me. She's like, well, what'd you do? Something stupid, you know. It's usually something stupid. Were you going to talk to him about it? No, I'm going to throw it away. You know what I mean? Eventually, it will just go away. That's how I like to deal with stuff. Time. Just gotta let this air out and then hopefully they forget. Oh man, it works for me because I forget everything all the time. I'm like, I just need a week and then I'm good with everybody again. How are you, Maxine? But I remember that she yelled at me the week before. She's never yelled at me to my face. Just kidding. Me and Maxine serve together at the Tacoma Rescue Mission, don't we? She's my friend. I love Maxine so much. You guys can all come too. But sign up. TacomaRescueMission.com. I don't actually know where you go. Where do you sign up at? Online. You go on the line. You get on the web. RescueMission.com. Yeah, okay. Total sidetrack. Sorry. I love you so much, Maxine. You want to talk about Rescue Mission? Where was I going? I wanted Maxine to like me, so I did all that. And so, Do you like me now? Do you like me?
This need to be liked.
The problem is, once again, it's a lie. There's always going to be brokenness. There's always going to be things in our lives that come along where they're just not working out. And really, what we're looking for is we're really looking for approval from others when we're already approved by God. Now, I want to give a little caveat. We should always do our best to walk in peace with one another, right? We shouldn't be trying to, like, push people's buttons. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is you love people, you do your best, and at some point, you're just not always going to be on the same page. It is what it is. But we are approved by who God says we are. We just read in Colossians 3:3 that we're hidden away in Christ, that when God sees us, he sees the perfected work of who Jesus Christ is. When God sees you, he sees perfection. That you are approved by God. That you are approved by him. It says this in 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Another translation, I'll dissect it in a second, ESV, it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. I think a lot of times we kind of read it that way. It's like we're doing our best to feel like we are approved by God. But really what he's saying is live your best to realize that you are approved by God. So often we kind of live from this place. It's like, if I could just get all my stuff together, then I'll be approved by God. What Paul's actually telling Timothy is this. Do your best to always remember that you are approved by God. Because the way that you live your life from that place is the way that we're supposed to live. That we are approved, that we are seen, that we are known, that God fully sees us and he still fully loves us. That he's fully grace and he's fully truth. That he knows every intricate bit detail about us and he still loves us. And that's so contrary to who we are in our nature, because we're a fallen, broken nature. We're like, how can he see everything and still love me? How can he actually see my skeletons? How can he actually see my shortcomings and still love me? Because that's God. That he's fully grace and he's fully truth. He knows everything and he still loves you. That the approval is by this, that we are hidden away in Christ. That when we live from this place of saying, I'm a Christ follower, I believe in Jesus, and I'm going to live my life as someone who's a follower of Christ, God sees us and he loves us. That's simple. If your pursuit of happiness is this, if people will like me and approve me, then I'll be happy. You will never, ever be happy. It's a lie. But if you always live in a place of saying, I am approved by God, that as I seek God, as I pursue God, as God begins to pursue me, because it's actually transactional, he sees you, you see him, it's both of us working together, God sees us and he approves us. He sees us, he knows us, he loves us. That's the truth. The truth is you are approved by God. And when we rest in that truth that God sees us, he's approved of us, he knows us, he loves us. And the final thing is this, the final lie. I hope you guys got all the other lies, writing down lies in your notes. It's like, he just told me a bunch of lies today in church. Can't even believe it. The final lie is this. If I'm comfortable, then I'll be happy. Man, aren't we just such creatures of comfort? Getting in a cozy chair with some good snacks. Guys. Can I be so honest with you right now? Can I be so honest with you guys right now? One of my favorite things in the world, playing with my kids, right? Okay. And then right next to that, some really good wings while watching a Seahawks game and being left alone. One of my favorite things in the whole world. Just no one talk to me. I just want to eat my wings in a comfortable chair and watch the Seahawks destroy. Like the best thing in the whole world. And what I'm doing is it's comfort, right? Like it's like I'm feeding my stupid fat face. It's not stupid. It is fat, but it's like smart fat. And that was so stupid. Full circle. So anyway, stupid fat face, right? And oh, man. Because it's comfortable, right? I'm eating. I'm watching something I really enjoy. I'm being left alone. It's literally removing all human interaction out of the equation. It's just like, get it out of here. And it's like that for me is comfortable. But in comfort, is that really funny? You like that. You're like, I want some wings right now. Spicy wings, baby. They got to be spicy. I want to be sweating like this. You guys, I know you're staring at my face all sweaty. So, where was I going with all this? Comfort. Here's the thing. When we're comfortable, we actually can't grow, and we can't actually walk in faith. In comfort, we will never grow, and we will never grow in faith. Because comfortable doesn't challenge. And when we're not challenged, we do not grow. So the lie is this. If I'm comfortable, then I'm happy. You're not actually happy. Why aren't you happy? Because you're not growing. And when you're not growing, you guys have felt that before. It's fine for a minute. But when you're like lazy for a week, I don't know if you guys have ever felt this. You're just like, what am I doing? Because comfort actually isn't happiness. You know what really actually is happiness? Work and rest. Work and rest. And I kind of want to key off of what I believe all this to be is God laid out the blueprint in the book of Genesis. When we're in this pursuit of happiness, this pursuit of joy, it's really what we're looking for, our souls are looking for is fulfillment. We're looking for purpose. We're looking for meaning. What's the meaning? What's the purpose? What's this day for? Am I just supposed to be here? Am I just supposed to exist? Am I supposed to just live my however many years and then go home to be with the Lord? Is that really the meaning and purpose of life? Is that what this is all about? And God lays out the blueprints right at the beginning. How does he lay it out? With Adam in Genesis. And we see these attributes. What our souls are pursuing for is this. We see that God created the Garden of Eden. And it says there that it says that it was pretty to look at and the food was good. It was pretty to look at and the food was good. And then God created Adam. And when God created Adam, he said, work, tend over the fields, do your part. And then the final thing was this, is he said, it's not good that man be alone, so he created him a wife. He created him a partner. And a lot of times we just correlate that just with marriage, but really what he's saying is, it's not good that man be alone. Sometimes we think that as long as I got my spouse, I'm good. It's part of it. We're supposed to be in community together is really the principle he's trying to lay out. It's good that we have spouses, but really what he's laying out is, it's good that we're in community together. We're supposed to be with one another. And so he lays this out. God even does this as he creates the heavens and the earth. God himself, he demonstrates this principle. Is he works and then he rests. He works and then he rests. When we're in pursuit of happiness, what we're really looking for is fulfillment. What am I supposed to do right now? And this is what God tells us. We're supposed to work. We're supposed to rest. We're supposed to enjoy the creation that he gave us. It was good to look at. It was good to eat. And then we're supposed to do it in relationship. When you are looking for happiness and joy, this is something that I constantly check myself back to. Is am I working? Am I resting? Am I enjoying? And am I doing it with God and with people? This is what the purpose, the meaning of life is. So often we lean into one of these areas. We work a lot. Any overworkers, workaholics? Me neither. We get that part down real good. But God himself, he rested. And sometimes we're working so hard that we're not actually doing the other part that God, he's demonstrated to us. You need to rest. You need to just be. And then some of us are on the other side. Where we be resting too much. We just be chilling for days. But really it's both. Is we need to work. We need to rest. We need to enjoy. And we need to do it together. Are you pursuing happiness? Are you pursuing fulfillment? Are you pursuing purpose? Look at this in your life. Am I doing a good day's work? Am I resting? Am I enjoying? This has been my issue lately. This is something that I constantly bring back up to myself. It's like, you guys can actually feel when your soul isn't good, can't you? You can feel when you're not doing good inside. Just like when I eat that Cinnamon Toast Crunch, like a little bit later, I'm like, I'm not doing good inside. There's something severely wrong. Our souls, they need this process. They need this in to do well. And we can go on for a while, but really this is what we need. We need to work. We need to rest. We need to enjoy. And we need to do it together. And sometimes what will happen is I'll be on my phone when I get home, just kind of checked out. And I can actually feel my soul. I can actually feel, I'm like, I'm not actually doing good. And I'll do this mental check for a second. Work, rest, enjoy together. And I'll say, actually, I think that this is the rest part, but really what I'm supposed to be doing is enjoying together. I'm actually supposed to be playing with my kids. It's really what I should be doing right now. And I'll put down the phone and I'll start to play with my kids. And you know what happens? My soul does better. Because I'm actually going in the formation that God laid out for us. I worked a hard day. I'm going to hang out with my kids now. I'm going to hang out with my wife. This is what we're really searching for. So I encourage each and every one of us with this question. Is our soul tired? Are we weary? Are we heavy laden? It says this, come to me, all of you that are heavy laden, weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is what Jesus says. That this is the command that God tells us. Come be with me. Rest with me. Be with me. And we're so often looking for something that's going to bring us joy, but really it's just a fleeting happiness. It's not sustaining joy. My prayer for each and every one of us is that we have a firm understanding that I know what a full life is. And I know that when my soul is hungry and tired, I can go back to this. And I know if I lean into this every day, I'm going to live a fulfilled life. And that's my hope and prayer for each and every one of us, that God calls us into community, that God calls us to do this with one another, and that God calls us to be with one another. And so would you guys stand up with me as we close up? I want to land this where we started, and it's the book of Philippians, where Paul says, I found the secret. I found the secret. It's to be content. I've had much and I've had little. I've had plenty and I've had nothing. I've been in every place, every realm of the spectrum, and even in this moment when he's writing these words, he's in a prison. He's locked away and he's saying, I found the secret. I'm content. I found what we were looking for. I'm actually leaning into who God is. And so today, if you're saying, Pastor Mike, I need this. I feel like I'm constantly chasing fulfillment. I feel like I'm constantly chasing, trying to be satisfied. I feel like I'm constantly chasing joy. I feel like I'm always in pursuit, and I feel like it's never attainable. I want to just pray for you, and encourage each and every one of us that we have the formula God showed us at the very beginning. Work, rest, enjoy, do it together. Work, rest, enjoy, do it together. All of these things in our lives are meant for the ultimate purpose, and that's to do it together. There's something so great about buying a pizza and sharing it with friends. There's something so intrinsic about going and getting something and sharing it. Amen. There's something so great about being in community with one another. That's what we were destined to do, is to do life together, to do our part and to do it together. That's our place, what we're supposed to be doing. So with every head bowed, every head closed, what I want to do is just give an opportunity today. First and foremost, it's this. It says in Romans, if we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart, that Jesus died and rose again, that we will be saved, that we'll be eternally connected. With every head bowed, every eye closed, today, the ultimate place of joy, the place where it all began, is with the nature of who Jesus is. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you say, Pastor Mike, I've never accepted Jesus, or right now I don't know Jesus, but right now I want to be connected with this, with Jesus, like this guy that you're talking about, the source of everything that I've been looking for. If that's you, can you just raise your hand so we can pray for you? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I also want to give an opportunity, if you've been chasing joy, if you've been in the pursuit of happiness, if you've been looking for it and feel like it's always so elusive, so at your fingertips, I want to encourage you to have the strength to step out and walk in what God has called us to do. So often we're held back by fear. What if I invite this person out to a cup of coffee and it doesn't go well? What if I do go to that work connection and then people see me for who I am? Here's the thing is, that's amazing. That's beautiful. That's healing. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to just pray for you right where you're at. If you say, Pastor Mike, I just want some prayer. I feel like I've been pursuing this thing for a long time. Can you just raise your hand so we can pray for you? Is that anybody? Awesome back there. Anybody else? A couple more hands over there. A couple more hands. Father, just another second. If that's you, can you just raise your hand up real high? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Father, you see each and every hand that's up right now, Jesus. Just receive this prayer right where you're at. Father, you see every hand that's up. I pray, Lord, right now, by your supernatural strength and ability, I pray right now, Jesus, that you see them, that you know them, you know their story, you know all about them, and that you fully love them, you fully accept them, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, that they will never trade in the truth for the lie, that they will know that truly that the thing that they've been searching for, Lord, is just to rest in your arms. And I pray, Lord, for each and every one of them right now, Jesus, that you're beginning to open doors for them, that they will step through, Jesus, that they will step through the door, Lord, that's scary, that it's daunting, that the risk, vulnerability, that Jesus, that the thing that they've been so fearing, that they begin to have the courage and the boldness to step into it. I pray, Lord, that you're going to begin to open up doors in the mighty name of Jesus for them, and that we can begin to live this life that you've called us to live, which is fulfillment, that you've called us to live a fulfilled life today. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for each and every one of these people. Lord, let them be blessed. Open up the doors in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just pray over you. Father, I just thank you so much for this group, for this time. I thank you, Jesus, that you've given us the formula. You've given us the way that we live a fulfilled life, that we live a joyous life, Lord. And that's, once again, it's through you, connection with you, Jesus, that we work together, that we rest together, that we enjoy together. And Lord, that we just do it together. We just love you so much, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for each and every person here, Lord. Lord, I pray for protection over them as they celebrate the 4th of July. Thank you, Lord, for protection over them as they leave this place. And we just love you so much, Jesus. Thank you for all that you've done, Lord. Thank you for this house, Jesus. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this community. Thank you, Father, for our pastor, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you've blessed us with such an amazing man of God, Jesus, and that he's leading us. And I just thank you, Father, that this house is tremendous. Blessed because we're focused on you, Jesus. We're looking to what you want us to do here in Tacoma. We love you, Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Don't just run out the door. Say hi to somebody. Talk for a second. Love you guys. Be blessed this week.